Hi there. Welcome to this week's episode of the podcast with me, Russell Davis. This week, we'll be unpacking everything about the law of attraction. Let's be honest. If the secret was so great, where's my Ferrari? Where's your baby? Can it be easy just thinking what you want into your life? Why doesn't it work for more people? Well, let's unpack that and find out. And find out what you can be doing instead to help you create more of the life you want and the things you want in it. Come outside to record this episode and a couple of others. It's such a beautiful day here down in southwest England in the countryside. It's not particularly warm, but there's a nice blue sky and big white clouds and almost like signs of spring. There's loads of birds singing. I just hear some sheep. I just feel like, just being out in nature as I record this, and I hope any background noises aren't off-putting. And I want to explore the law of attraction. You know, if the secret's so great, where's your baby or where's my Ferrari? And the law of attraction or manifestation or the secret, I think elements of it I see been quite prevalent in the world of fertility, overtly or indirectly. Even the kind of sprinkling of baby dust, wishing you baby dust, for me, I just taps into this sense of needing something outside of us to create what we want in our lives. Not that we're guaranteed to get pregnant, but there's something about the law of attraction assumes we need some external power to give us something we think we need to be happy, to be complete, to be fulfilled. And my fear is that often the kind of manifestation, the law of attraction is fueled by fear of not getting that thing and a sense of powerlessness in some way. I think it can often be disempowering. And I think back to my days within the traditional church and religion, and I think actually religion often can inadvertently disempower us in some way. I truly believe that it's God within us. We're made in God's image, whether God is for you, divine loving energy of life. We're part of it and we're made of it. And we co-create our life with it. And I guess one model, this is a model, it's not truth, it's a way maybe starting to see things a bit differently, or in one way, is there could be three ways to live. One is, I think, we put all our power in the physical world, where people are striving to create the next thing in their life they think they need to be happy, to be secure, to be content. And I lived many and many years and decades in that way, unconsciously not realizing that what I was doing, that I'll be happy when. And I was striving for the next thing. I thought I needed to be happy, to be secure, whether it was the qualifications or the career or the pension or the house, the wife, all these things I thought I needed to be happy and content. And often society perpetuates those kind of messages. It's very much the kind of environment I grew up, where my mother very much needed a good secure job and a pension to be happy in life or secure in life. That was about the messages I learned indirectly from my parents. But the thing is about that is, again, it's powerlessness. It's putting all the power in the physical world. It's kind of giving all the power to the physical world for our internal experience. The unconscious, we think we need some certain external circumstances to create an internal experience of contentment or fulfillment or security, whatever it may be. And it doesn't work that way. And I think the law of attraction can be a similar thing, but it's putting all the power into this metaphysical energy behind life. And I think, again, that can disempower us. It presupposes that there's something missing, that we're not complete, and we don't have the power to be complete. And I just don't necessarily agree with that. I think we come into the world complete. I mean, when was the last time you looked at a baby and thought they weren't complete, they weren't perfect as they were? And a baby, as long as its physical needs are met, it's fed and watered, a baby and a toddler just spends most of their time just being okay, not striving for anything. It's being present in the moment, saving the moment, content in the moment. It doesn't mean we don't have any aspirations. Toddlers learn to do amazing things and to walk and learn to talk and explore this world and have all sorts of aspirations, but from a place of completeness. There's no fear of not learning to walk or talk. There's no judgment about how long it takes from the toddler itself. Sometimes it is from the parents. But the toddler, our human self, our pure self, is coming from a place of completeness. I'm okay, I'm complete. Why it goes about exploring and creating and doing amazing things. I think that's our pure self. I think the third way to live is recognizing that we're spiritual beings having a physical experience. I do believe in a metaphysical energy behind life. I do believe it's loving and kind and wants to bless us with amazing things. I believe it's unconditional love. And sometimes that's why it's hard to comprehend, because we often don't experience unconditional love in our human experiences. Even the best will in the world, parents aren't perfect, and mine definitely weren't perfect. My mum had all sorts of struggles of anxiety and depression and alcoholism, and I'm not surprised given the childhood experiences she had. And unconsciously we can project our perception or experience of our parents onto life itself. Our perception of the energy behind life, whatever God is for you, can often come from our parents. So I experienced my parents' love, particularly my mum's love, as conditional. And honestly, growing up in an Anglo-Catholic church environment, I heard about a God of unconditional love, but also what I heard a lot about were these conditions between me and that love. So unconsciously, my perception of the energy behind life, I guess from the church teaching and my mum, was that it was conditional. So sometimes it's quite hard to comprehend that there's an energy behind life that is unconditional love. You can never fall out of love with it. You can't do anything wrong or bad. It's love and compassion and kindness. And that moves through us. I believe we are God, whatever God is for you, in human form. And I think looking back at my kind of church days, I disempowered myself. I prayed a prayer for many years, for decades, that God, tell me what you want me to do. I'll do anything for you. I'll give up my job, go and serve you as a ministry, in ministry or youth work, whatever it may be. And for years I never heard anything. I never got an answer to that prayer. And then I began to learn to quiet my mind. I began to realise I had a very busy mind and a very unhelpful relationship with thoughts, trying to think my way to clarity, to peace, to security. Not recognising it's within me. And the more I began to quiet my mind, I became more connected to God, to the energy of life. I could sense its presence more. I sensed God an answer to that prayer. And the answer was, just be you. Just be you. I created you with a unique sense of gifts, of skills and gifts and talents and passions and desires. Just be you. And then it'll become clear. And I was thinking, no, God, just tell me what it is. It's far easier if you tell me what it is. Then I can't get it wrong. Again, it was fear. I was fear of being judged, fear of getting it wrong, fear of getting to my end of my life and being judged in some way that I'd wasted it. Fear of never being happy. Fear of never being enough. I think this third way is recognizing we co-create our life with the energy of life. We're human, we're going to have all sorts of a roller coaster of human experiences, that is true, and we can't escape that because we're human. But also, with this energy of life, and that's a paradox. It's a dichotomy, it's a paradox. I'm not sure which is the right word, but you get that they're almost, in some sense, opposites. But I think they're both true. When I lost my dad, I felt immense grief, but I also sensed this being held by this energy of life and knew it was going to be okay. That life wasn't going to be worse, it was going to be different. And that actually allowed me to feel my grief more fully. Before I really had this sense or this connection to this energy of life and an unconditional love and enoughness within me, I avoided my negative emotions. I thought they were bad or wrong or unhelpful or just not. It didn't go there. I was scared of them in some way. Took too much meaning from them. But having this kind of balance of being spiritual and human, I wasn't scared of my human experience. I could feel it fully. I could allow it. When we do that, it just moves through more easily, like clouds on a breeze. I believe we're enough. We came into the world enough. We have everything we need to create our human experience. And most of my clients, the problems they have with getting pregnant is this not feeling enoughness. This feeling disempowered, which often starts from childhood, not the actual fertility experience. And that's not to say we're guaranteed to get pregnant. When we know we're enough, we know, okay, whatever happens, we don't need a baby to feel enough. We are enough. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have a baby. We don't need it. It brings flow, it brings balance, it brings perspective. And for me, that's when things are far more likely to happen. So you won't be hearing me wishing you baby dust, because I want you to know you're this powerful, creative human being. There's everything you need within you to create a passionate, inspiring, fulfilled life, whatever that looks like. And maybe it's not the life we expect, but this energy behind life has got our back. It's got our back. And whatever happens, you're going to be okay. Because it's just like that baby that came into the world complete. That's who you are. Your soul is complete. You've got this. You've got this. Loving you.